أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him, and I trust Him. And I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our passion. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides into Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seed of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you, as well as myself, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Alhamdulillah, by Allah's leave, inshallah, we today about to continue our series concerning the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram after this short break. And today, inshallah, which is Tuesday, the 22nd of September 1998, which is equivalent to the 2nd of Jamada al-Akhir for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our 26th class from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam, the attainment of the objective according to the evidence. And this by Sheikh Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. Alaykum as-salamu alaykum. So today, inshallah, this is our 26th class from this book. And today, inshallah, we have a beautiful subject, which is concerning Salat al-Jama'ah. And for those, inshallah, who follow or they have the book Bulugh al-Maram, they may look to page number 142. And this is chapter number 10. Chapter number 10 and page 142, and the hadith that we're going to be starting with today, inshallah, is going to be hadith number 314. Before I start talking about the hadith and the explanation from Bulugh al-Maram, inshallah, first, what is Salat al-Jama'ah? As we understand, the word Salah is prayer, okay? And the Jama'ah, like collectively something to do collectively or together in unity. And this is what it translated in English as a prayer in congregation, okay, or prayer in together. And when we're talking about Salat al-Jama'ah, for sure we're talking about the Salat al-Jama'ah which is supposed to be taking place in the masjid, okay? We are not talking about Salat al-Jama'ah, although that is still called Salat al-Jama'ah because that you get together, okay? Like if the husband and the wife and the children get together and they make Salah, this is Salah Jama'ah, okay? Or if the mother takes the kids and they pray together, it's still called Salah Jama'ah. But what we're talking about here tonight, or our subject concerning Salah Jama'ah, which is supposed to be taking place in the mosque, okay? This is the subject that we're supposed to be discussing tonight. The importance of this Salah in Jama'ah, praying together with the Imam, I can express it by reminding myself as well as my brothers with Salah, with verse in Surah An-Nisa. This verse is number 102. Surah An-Nisa, women, and this is verse number 102. That in this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even when he is in the battlefield, even if he is in the battlefield, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ. And if you are among them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the salah is established, let a group of them pray with you. Okay? So, alaykum salam. We can see in the time of difficulty, time of hardship, time of fighting the enemies of Allah, and still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as the companions to make the salah together. We're going to be breaking the army to two groups, okay? So one group will be watching, facing the enemy, one group following the prayer behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we really think about this verse by itself, and our time, understand, being living in our houses and going to our jobs and all these things, this is not a battle, or this is not a fighting with the kafirun. And we have it more, much easier than the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, okay? But still, in the time even of fighting the enemy, real fighting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging them or commanding them to make the Salat al-Jama'ah. So you can imagine how is our situation. We will see this also, the importance of Salat al-Jama'ah, from another hadith, which is going to be the second hadith for today, that was so important to such a degree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to go and burn the houses of those people who don't come to the masjid, okay? So this verse and this hadith, it shows us how serious and how important for us to attend the mosque and to make the salah with the jama'ah. Because in actuality this deen, this religion is a deen of jama'ah. This deen is not a deen of individualism, okay? It's not a deen of everybody having his own idea and his own mosque and his own newspaper and his own newsletter and his own idea, his own philosophy. It's deen of doing things collectively and being together and being united, because the moment that the Muslims start to be disunited and start to be everybody about his own business, okay, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the wolf will attack the lonely sheep. The wolf attacks the lonely sheep because the sheep are weak, okay. This animal, the sheep, okay, the lambs are weak. But the strength, it comes because we get together. You see? although that the wolf is stronger than a sheep, but as the wolf will have the strength when he sees this sheep by itself, you see. But as long as the sheep is taken together, now the wolf will keep a distance, you see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants to protect the Muslims from the wolf, and the serious wolf that always watching for the Muslims, the shaitan, okay. You have the shaitan, you have your desires, you have the temptation of the dunya, you have all the things. This is wolf, okay? This is the wolf for the Muslims, okay? And all the things waiting for the moment to grab you. It will grab you from Jum'ah, and after this grab you from the Salah, and after this grab you from the Masjid, and from activities, and little bit by little bit, and you find yourself now in your own, okay? And even if somebody tried to come to remind you or advise you, now you became your own sheikh and your own imam and ready to argue and ready to give fatwa. You see? Because this is the shaitan already has established authority over you. He snatched you already. So he already had wounded you enough to such a degree that he has the ability that he can argue with the Muslims, and he can even have whatever that you're ready to tell them. So the deen is deen of jama'ah. This religion of Islam is deen of jama'ah, deen of unity. In your salah, in your zakah, in everything to be together as much as you can, okay? And the same thing is applied in the family, okay? So the whole thing you find it in Islam is deen of being emphasize this unity and being together. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمُ وَلَا يَحُضَّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Do you see him who denies the day of judgment? Okay? He said, this is the one who treats the orphan harshly, and he doesn't encourage the feeding of the poor. Okay? Because the deen is deen of jama'ah, deen of collective, doing things together, sticking together, being one body, being a community, being one masjid, being one, you see, the whole thing. So you found that the salah, which is something that repeated every day, five times a day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make it together. Okay? And it is very important that for the imam and for the members of the community to see each other, to strengthen each other, and also to be observing each other from the financial condition, from economic condition, to see each other. Because this is a meeting that will be repeated five times a day, that you can see who's missing, if he's sick, if he's hungry, if he's going astray, okay? Whatever it is happening. So the Salat al-Jama'ah is something very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given it to this Ummah, and it is very, very important, and we get in the benefit of being together and being getting the strength of being supported by each other, plus we get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find in hadith number 314 and page 142, عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفرد ب27 درجة. That the prayer, this hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. This hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. And this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima. So the hadith is sahih, is authentic, is the highest degree of authenticity. The hadith is reported by Abdullah, son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, telling us that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling us about the prayer that then made with the jama'ah, with the group, The prayer being offered in congregation is 27 degree more rewarded than prayer offered by a single person. Okay? So this is the superiority of Salat al-Jama'ah. That you pray by yourself, you get in, okay? You get in 1 degree. You get in 1 reward. While you praying with the Jama'ah, you get in 27 degree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how much is this degree. Okay? But you can imagine that you get in reward. It's going to be doubled to such degree that will be more rewarded 27 times. Okay? And this is the reason you may find some disagreements among the scholars. Is the Salat al-Jama'ah must or optional? Is it Sunnah or a wajib? Okay? Because from some hadith, the scholars, as example like this hadith, it say, if it's better, that means the Salah by yourself is still acceptable. Okay? Okay? While the others, they look to the other hadith, which comes after this, hadith number 315, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to go and burn the houses of those people who did not attend the Jama'ah, they did not come to the masjid. They say, look how serious it is, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes one. To such a degree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to burn the houses. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know how kind and how merciful he is. And for him to go to do a da'wah to do such a thing like this, it must be something very serious, okay? But the scholars, they did not have objection that the Salat al-Jama'ah been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And this is one of the most important things can be done by the Muslims, okay? But the differences among the scholars that three of the school of thought, okay, they see it to be Sunnah Mu'akkada, that means it's very strong recommended Sunnah, okay, that is not a must. While the school of Zahiriya, Ibn Hazm, they see it to be wajib, or they see it to be shart, that means it's a condition. That means if you do not make your salah in the jama'ah, the salah is not acceptable, okay? And also the Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi, he see it to be wajib on the individual, okay? Even if you are in the masjid, it's still that you need to make it in jama'ah, okay? In your office, on your school, wherever you are, that you still need to make jama'ah, that you could not make salah by yourself. And we can see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even permit it, the blind man, okay, to pray in his house. So from this ahadith, that some of the scholars understood that the salah in jama'ah is a must, while others is understood to be a condition. That means if you did not make it, like somebody who is making salah without wudu, the salah will be will not going to be acceptable, okay? While some felt that is what Sunnah Mu'akkada, that is very strong recommended Sunnah. And I say, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows best, that the salah is a fard for the neighbors of the masjid. The people who can hear the adhan, okay? The people who live in the surrounding area by the masjid, they have to go and make their salah. If they pray it in their house, the salah is still acceptable, okay? It's still acceptable, but they had breaking the rules which is supposed to be done in congregation. So as I said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Salat al-Jama'ah easy in a matter of the war, and that we understand that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always did it in Jama'ah as well as the Sahaba, and the Sahaba used to view the person who did not make it in Jama'ah to be a hypocrite. And keep in mind that when we're talking about this, we're talking about men, okay? Because the Salah al-Jama'ah is obligatory in Jama'ah in the masjid for men, not for the women. The most rewarded prayer for the woman is what she pray in her house, okay? Why? Because the more that a woman in privacy away from the men's eyes is more rewarded for her. And it's so strange that he found some Muslims coming from different countries, they born Muslim, raised Muslims, they did not come to the masjid. For what reason? Because this is the way how they understood Islam, that the best salah for the woman is where she pray in her house. But you'll find this woman basically in every shopping center. Every mall you will see this woman. So strange, okay? So that means they hide themselves, they stay away from the mosque and the house of Allah, and they expose themselves, and they've been in every place, especially the market, which is the marketplace for the shaitan. They did not understand the purpose behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the most rewarded salah for you, the salah that you make it in your house, does not mean that you hide yourself from the masjid and after this you expose yourself everywhere else. This completely is a wrong understanding. And another version, also in Bukhari and Muslim, which reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, بِخَمْسٍ وَعِشْرِينَ جُزْءًا. That means the prayer in Jama'ah will be more rewarded 25 times. Okay? Some people they may understand or think that this contradiction between the two hadith, and the hadith is authentic also, okay? The one say 27, one say 25. But we understand, okay, that possibility that the first one came after the second one. What does this mean in Revelation? A statement. Because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you more mercy, more reward. So the reward was in the beginning, that when you make it in Jama'ah, you get 25 degrees. Okay? So later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards and bless more the Muslim community by making 27 degrees. This is one way to understand the hadith, okay? The two hadith. And some scholars also explain this to be that the salah will be rewarded according different other measurements, okay? As example, how far you are from the masjid. Because the person who walks a far distance, he would be more rewarded than a person who next door of the masjid, okay? This is one way to understand the hadith, okay? So the person who coming from a distance, he would be more rewarded than a person who lives next door. This one thing. Also, the number of the worshippers that involved in the Jama'ah prayer, okay? Because in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that the salah of the two is more rewarded than the salah of one. And the salah of three is more rewarded than salah of two. And what is more reward. Okay? So the more jama'ah, okay, the more number of the musallim, the worshippers, okay, that the more reward. It also can be understood that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swearing by Allah, saying, I swear by the one who hold my hand, my soul in his hand, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who holding our souls in his hand. He can release it or take it from him at any moment. So this also shows
humbleness and the submission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by acknowledging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be his Lord, his God. He's the one who's holding his soul in his hand. Okay? I swear by the one who's holding what? Holding my soul in his hand. I was about to order, to give order to members of the community. They collect wood, okay? And after this, I will order the salah to be called, to be established. And after this, I will appoint somebody to lead the salah. And for me, I will go to those people who did not attend the Jama'ah prayer. Those people who did not come to the masjid. See, busy sitting in their houses, talking, chatting, reading newspaper, watching TV, sleeping, being lazy, doing nothing. Okay? And I will go to those people who did not attend the Jama'ah. And I burn their houses. Because you can turn it down from here. No, you can turn it down a little bit from here if you want. And he will go to those people who did not attend the Jama'ah, the congregation prayer, and will burn their houses. Okay? He will burn their houses as a punishment for them not attending the Jama'ah prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that لو يعلم أحدهم, some of those people who did not come for the Jama'ah prayer, they did not come to the mosque, they did not come to this reward or 27 degree different from praying by yourself. Some of those people, if they knew that there is a dinner in the masjid, not even a dinner, a soup, a piece of bone, okay, or a little bit of meat that comes between the two nails of a goat, that means almost nothing, okay, that means something of this material thing, like dollars, dimes, nickels, okay? Something so small. But because material things, okay, something tangible or something touchy that you can touch it with your hand, they will be coming to the masjid. That means they did not show up for the reward. But if something from this worldly thing, even if it's small, they will show up. They have no problem to come. They are not sick. They are not tired, they are not anything. But they don't care about this blessing, you see. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will say that these people, for a small worldly thing, they will show up. They will show up, okay? But if we can think about the reward of 27 degrees, different and more rewarded than you pay by yourself, it's not like a big thing. Okay. Yeah, next day. I'll go next week. Okay. I'll go for Aisha. It's enough. I'll go for Aisha. Okay. Okay. وَعَنُهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ. Do something about this. وَعَنُهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَثْقَلُ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ صَلَاةُ الْعِشَاءِ وَصَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ ولو يعلمون ما فيهما لأتوهما ولو حبوا. متفق عليه. حديث reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. حديث number 316, page 143. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم showing one of the signs of the hypocrite. Those people that they have nifaq, they have hypocrisy, they have illness and sickness in their hearts. one of their sons that they feel the most heavy, the most burden, the most trouble. Prayer for them is Salat al-Isha and Salat al-Fajr. The last prayer and the first early morning prayer. We're talking about the nifaq. There is nifaq amali and there is nifaq i'tiqadi. Okay? There is hypocrisy in the belief and there is hypocrisy in the action. You know that hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that alamatul munafiq is thalath, and in another hadith arba, the sign of the hypocrite are three, and in another hadith they say that they are four: iza haddatha kadhab, wa iza aahada ghadar, wa iza tumina khan, wa iza khatama fajr, or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning of the hadith is that the sign of the hypocrite are three, and in another narration are four. One of them is when he speaks, he tells lies. When he promises, he doesn't keep his promise. This kind of hypocrisy called nifaq amali is in action. Because the nifaq in al-i'tiqad, hypocrisy in the belief, it has no place in Islam. The person can be a Muslim and munafiq at the same time, but munafiq in his action, not in his belief. Okay? That means there is a Muslim who tells lies. He's still a Muslim, okay, but he's committing sin and he has a sign of hypocrisy, okay, and he has to treat himself against this sickness. Because if he gets these four signs together, he will be a pure hypocrite, wal'iyadhu billah. Seek Allah's protection against this, okay. So here when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that asfal as-salah, the most burdensome prayer for the hypocrites are the Isha and the Fajr, he's talking about what? He's talking about the hypocrisy in action, not hypocrisy in the belief. Inshallah, we're going to have to stop because it's time for Maghrib. And we continue after Salat al-Maghrib, inshallah. And we have to find a way to change the class, the time for the class, inshallah. So inshallah we continue after Salah. Mujahid. Let's say 20 minutes from now. Excuse me. 7:33 now. Okay, let's see. Alright. Let's see. Twenty-five minutes sharp from now, okay? Assalamu alaikum.
أي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى فقال يا رسول الله إنه
أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى فقال يا رسول الله إنه ليس لي قائد يقودني إلى المسجد فرخص لي فلما ولى دعاه فقال هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة قال نعم قال فأجب رواه مسلم. Again, حديث number 317 وعنه قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى فقال يا رسول الله إنه ليس لي قائد يقودني إلى المسجد فرخص له فلما ولى دعاه فقال هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة؟ قال نعم. قال فأجب رواه مسلم. The hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, and in the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi. So the hadith is authentic. this man who is blind, that means he could not see, which is Abdullah ibn Maktoum, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to permit him and to give him excuse to pray in his house due to the condition that he is blind, that he could not see, and the second condition that he does not have a person that may lead him or assist him to take him to the masjid. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave him excuse, he gave him the permission. And when he left, about to leave and depart from the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called him back. He asked him, هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة? Do you hear the call for the prayer? He said, نعم, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so he answered the call for the prayer. Now, we don't want to understand to go in all these details about schools, such he said is Sunnah Mu'akkada, and the school so-and-so said that is a must, and the school so-and-so said, you understand, is a condition. And now, observe this hadith. Look at this hadith by itself, okay? And now, compare this to your condition. This is a blind man. And alhamdulillah, Allah bless us with vision. Allah bless us with stars. Name it. With the blessing that we have compared to those Sahaba, may Allah bless with them, okay? And due to the fact that this man has all these reasons, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, if you hear the nida, if you hear the call to the prayer, you have no excuse, you have to come, even if he's blind, even if you have no a person to lead him to the mosque. And also from this hadith we understand that the obligation in jama'ah, it falls upon the people who hear the adhan. Okay? The people who live in the premises or in the surrounded area of the masjid. The people who can hear the muazzin. Okay? If the muazzin goes in the roof of the mosque and he calls the adhan with his voice, without a loudspeaker, so if this can go half mile, 1 mile distance, so those people who live in this area, they have to answer the call for the prayer, they have no excuse, they have to come, okay? Those people who live beyond this destination, okay? Like somebody, as example, live in what you call Rosewood area or St. Andrews area, all these things, they are not going to hear the adhan. So those people now is up to them to come or no. But we should always be concerned and thinking about the reward that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about the Salat al-Jama'ah is more rewarded than the singular prayer praying by yourself 27 times. Even if the Salah is not obligatory in you, Salat al-Jama'ah, being in congregation prayer, you still should be concerned about getting this reward. And always remember this blind man that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give him excuse to pray by himself in his house. Hadith number 318, page 143, from Book Bulugh al-Maram. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من سمع النداء فلم يأتي فلا صلاة له إلا من عذر رواه ابن ماجه والدارقطني وابن حبان والحاكم وإسناده على شرط مسلم لكن رجح بعضهم وقفه. This hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection
ابن ماجه, الامام البيهقي, and مسند الحاكم, and is not in the book of البخاري or Muslim, but it is according to the condition of البخاري and Muslim. So the hadith is authentic. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us in this hadith that whosoever hears the adhan, okay, whosoever hears the adhan, he hear it with his own ear, without a loud speaker, okay, that he in the premises or in the what you call in, vicinity of hearing the natural voice of the muezzin, okay? If he hear it and he did not come, that no salah except, no salah for him except what? If he have excuse, okay? If he have excuse, like sickness as a dumbbell or fear, okay, that he could not walk to the mosque due to his illness, or that there is wild animals comes at night and he fear for his life, or that there is around the corner some people understand that at night they do all these bad things and maybe they kill him or snatch his wallet or whatever it is. So this is excuse for him. Hadith number 319, page 144. وعن يزيد بن الأسود رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه صلى مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الصبح. فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا هو برجلين لم يصليا فدعا بهما فجيء بهما ترعد فرائسهما فقال لهما ما منعكما أن تصليا معنا؟ قال قد صلينا في رحالنا. قال فلا تفعلا, إذا صليتما في رحالكما ثم أدركتما الإمام ولم يصلي فصليا معه فإنها لكما نافلة. This hadith reported by Yazid ibn al-Aswad. And this hadith is a collection of Imam ibn Hibban as well as al-Tirmidhi. And also the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Nisa'i. And the hadith is authentic. And the hadith is telling us about the story that Yazid ibn al-Aswad said that he performed the prayer with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the morning prayer. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the salah, he spotted or he saw two men which they did not perform the prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered for them to be brought to him. So the Sahaba, some of the Sahaba went and brought them forward before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while they were shaking, they were scared. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned them, why you didn't perform a prayer with us? He said, O Prophet of Allah, we had prayer in our homes. The Prophet said, don't do so. Don't do so. If it happens that you pray in your houses, and after this you come to the mosque, and you found the imam making the prayer, so pray with the imam. It will be optional. It will be recorded for you as what? As the optional prayer. You must pray with the imam. And it will be a voluntarily prayer for you. That means that a person, even if he performs a prayer, and this prayer considered obligatory prayer,
that he's not supposed to be sitting in the mosque while the imam performing the prayer. Because this is shukr.
سجد فاسجدوا ولا تسجدوا حتى يسجد وإذا صلى قائما فصلوا قياما وإذا صلى قاعدا فصلوا قعودا أجمعين رواه أبو داود وهذا لفظه وأصله في الصحيحين.
This hadith was reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, and this hadith is a collection of an Imam Abu Dawood, as well as Bukhari and Muslim. And the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, indeed the Imam has been appointed to be followed in everything in the prayer. So when he utters the takbir to enter the salah, then you utter the takbir too. And do not utter takbir until he utters it. Okay? And don't make takbir before him. And if he performs ruku', or when he performs ruku', now you perform your ruku', and don't make ruku' until he make ruku'. And if he says Sami Allahu liman hamida, when he raised from ruku', from the bound down position, you say Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. And when he makes sujood, now you make sujood. And don't prostrate until he makes his prostration. And if he leads you in the salah standing up, you follow him standing position, in the standing position. And if he leads you in the salah sitting down, you follow him in the salah in the sitting position. Okay? So from this hadith, we see the importance and the necessity that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us the position of the imam to be followed. You could not match him, neither you can go before him. Okay? You could not be even with him in the movement, neither you can go before him. He has to be followed. So the necessity of doing all your action in salah after the imam. And that all your action to be done after he finish from his action. Okay? وَإِذَا سَجَدَ فَاسْجُدُوا. And if he, and when he prostrate, that means he already in prostration, now you make your prostration. So that he's supposed to be standing up. And when he already in the floor, now you follow him. Okay? And that is forbidden for the followers to be advanced from the imam. Neither supposed for the followers to be late than the imam. Okay? Not him being in sujood, and now you're risen up from ruku'. Okay? But you wait even to make your move until he finishes move. Now you start to move it, okay? Also from this hadith, we understand that what is supposed to be done by the imam, as well as the person who's praying in his own, by himself, is the saying of Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Okay? And for the followers, if you are behind the imam, if you are behind the imam to say what? رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. Also from this hadith, we understand that if the imam, for some reason, for illness or sickness or handicap or whatever it is, and he leads the salah sitting down, so the followers will be sitting down. Okay? Even if you are healthy, even if you are young, if the imam leading the salah in sitting down position, you will do it in sitting down position. The school of Shafi'iyah, the position that the Imam and the Ma'moom to say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. And their evidence that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, pray like you saw me pray. This is their evidence, this is their understanding. But as you saw in this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear. Okay? And this is the school of Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that the ma'moom, the follower behind the Imam, he say what? Rabbana wa laka alhamd. The Imam say, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa laka alhamd. The follower would say only, Rabbana wa laka alhamd. If you praying by yourself, you will say, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa laka alhamd. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And the hadith, as I said, the hadith is authentic. And is this something very, very important that we have to keep eye on it and always have to learn how to practice, but we don't move until the imam finish his movement. Okay? Hadith number 321, page 145. Reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى في أصحابه تأخرا فقال تقدموا فاهتموا بي وليأتم بكم من بعدكم. This hadith in the collection of the Imam Muslim. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw tendency among his companions of going to the back, so he said, come forward and follow my lead. And follow my lead, and let those behind you follow you. Okay? And this also to show us the necessity or the importance of getting closer to the Imam and to try to be in the first rank. It could not be the second rank. You don't wait until go and stay in the last ranks, okay? Because the more that you get closer in the first rank, that the more rewarded your prayer. And this also to teach us about the manner of Salat al-Jama'ah, that you should be concerned about catching the first rank. If you could not, will be the second, okay? And those who will come later, they will join and follow those who in the first and the second like this. Hadith number 322, reported by Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an, قال احتجر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حجرة منخفضة ومخصفة فصلى فيها فتتبع إليه رجال وجاءوا يصلون بصلاة الحديث وفيه أفضل صلاة المرء في بيته إلا المكتوبة. Hadith reported by Zayd ibn Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing prayer in a small room inside his house. Okay, it's not at the same level of the mosque. So some of the Sahaba, they watch him and they start follow him in the prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed them that the most excellent or the most rewarded prayer of a man is that the one who pray in his house except the obligatory prayer. Okay? So this hadith let us know that Salat al-Jama'ah for the maktuba, the obligatory prayer, is more rewarded where? In the mosque. And the salah in nafila, the optional prayer, the sunnah, is more rewarded that you pray it where? In your house. Hadith number 323. Page 146, reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. قال صلى معاذ بأصحابه العشاء فطول عليهم فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتريد أن تكون يا معاذ فتانا إذا أممت الناس فاقرأ بالشمس وضحاها وسبح اسم ربك الأعلى و اقرأ باسم ربك والليل إذا يغشى. متفق عليه. The hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, reported by Jabir, and that Mu'adh, he led his companion with Salat al-Isha, the last prayer. And Mu'adh ibn Jabal, may Allah be pleased with him, he used to go pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last prayer. And after this, he will walk back to his town or his city, and he will lead his people in Salat al-Isha. And one night that he led them and he read a long, long surah. And some people, they were so disturbed with it, and some people, they went and complained to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Mu'adh. Because you can imagine that first he went in the Salah of the Prophet, and he prayed behind the Prophet, and after this he will walk to his village or his town, okay, and after this he will lead the people in the prayer, and he makes a long surah, okay. So this is a long time for people to be waiting, and after this he arrives there and leading them. So they complain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said to him, do you want to be a fatan? That means, do you want to inflict pain and hardship on the people and turn them away from the Salah and the Islam by your action? It became a cause of fitna, turning them away from the congregation prayer, okay? And he said to him that the person who leads the people, when you lead the people, that read Surah Al-Shams wa Duha, or Surah Al-A'la, or Surah Al-Alaq, okay, or Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Surah number 91, or 87, 96, 92, that means he's giving him example what that he shouldn't go and lead them in Surah Al-Baqarah, okay, taking 2-3 hours to finish Salat Al-Isha, but he can read something which... So some people now, they go to the extreme, and they said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'adh, read a small surah. So now they go read one verse, and they go up and down very fast and very quick. This is not what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant, okay? That the person should take his time, but in the same time, he doesn't have to recite a long surah, especially in Salat al-Isha, and people have been waiting for a long time and things like this. Hadith number 324 عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها في قصة صلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالناس وهو مريض قالت فجاء حتى جلس عن يسار أبي بكر فكان يصلي بالناس جالسا وأبو بكر قائما يقتدي أبو بكر بصلاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واقتدى الناس بصلاة أبي بكر. متفق عليه. Okay. this hadith which reported by Aisha radiallahu anha, and the hadith is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his illness, that she said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat on the left side of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So he led the people in salah while he's sitting, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was standing up. So the Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was led by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while the people been led by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Hadith number 325, page 147, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أم أحدكم الناس فليخفف فإن فيهم الصغير والكبير والضعيف وذا الحاجة فإذا صلى وحده فليصلي كيف شاء. Hadith number 325 in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when one of you leads the people in the prayer, let him make the salah light. That means short. That means not to read a long surah. That is because why he should make the salah light or short. That due to the fact that among the followers, young, like kids, and old men that he could not stand for too long, and a weak person, okay, and the haja, the person has to rush. He have school, he have business, he have something, whatever. Okay, he have business to take care of it, whatever this business is, okay? But if you praying for yourself, now this is up to you, you can pray for hours, okay? So this shows us that Islam teaches us mercy and consideration for others, okay? And the person have to be always try to see the surrounding and not to burden the people, okay? What is your surrounding? What is the community among you? Can they learn one verse a day? Or can they learn 10 verses a day? Okay? Can they have 2 classes a week or 1 class a week? Okay? Try to live according the level of the rest of the community. Don't only think about yourself, okay? But when you're doing something in your own, by yourself, now this is a different story, okay? And this is, shows us how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was concerned about the leaders of the Muslims, okay? To be considered, to consider their community, okay? And to try to feel to their weakness and their needs and their wants, okay? Without breaking the rules of Islam. Alhamdulillah. Hadith number 326, page 147, reported by Amr ibn Salama, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن عمر ibn Salama قال أبي جئتكم من عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حقا قال فإذا حضرت الصلاة فليؤذن أحدكم وليؤمكم أكثركم قرآنا قال فنظروا فلم يكن أحد أكثر قرآنا مني فقدموني وأنا ابن ست أو سبع سنين أو سبع سنين رواه البخاري وأبو داود والنسائي. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood and collection of Sunan al-Nisa'i. That Amr ibn Salama, which is the father of the narrator, say, I have came to you
from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a true prophet, okay? And he said that when the salah is in, that means the time for salah is in, let one of you call the adhan. And let the one who have most Quran, most memorization of the Quran, lead you. This is an instruction, the instruction of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when the time for adhan, that somebody, or the time for salah, that somebody calls the adhan. Okay? And the second order, that the person more memorization of the Quran to lead the salah. Okay? So Amr ibn Salama is saying, they look among themselves to see the one who more memorization of the Quran, and I was the one. At that time I was 6 or 7 years old. Okay? And I led them in the salah. Hadith number 327 reported by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أم القوم أقرأهم لكتاب الله تعالى فإن كانوا في القراءة سواء فأعلمهم بالسنة فإن كانوا في السنة سواء فأقدمهم هجرة فإن كانوا في الهجرة سواء فأقدمهم سلمة سلمة وفي رواية سنة ولا يؤمن الرجل الرجل في سلطانه ولا يقعد في بيته على تكرمته إلا بإذنه رواه مسلم. Hadith reported by Ibn Mas'ud and in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. No doubt in it that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam given us the order about who's supposed to lead the salah. So he said, let the one who more memorization in the Quran lead the people in the salah. The one who recites the book of Allah who most should be the imam of the people. If they are equal in the memorization of the Quran, then the one who know more sunnah, more hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more knowledgeable about the sunnah. But if they are equal in Quran and sunnah, so they're going to select the person that who more migration, okay, or the oldest in the migration, the one who went to Medina before, okay. So now he deserves to be the imam. So if they are equal in all this, so now they go by the age, who's older in the age, okay? So Islam gives an order for leading the prayer and shows that these people have more respect in the community than others to lead these positions, okay? So, and if they are equal in memorization of the Quran, there is other categories and there is other things to be considered, okay? But there is something Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also put it there. He said that no one will lead the salah in the sultan, in the authority of a man, okay? Let's see how he used it here. The dominion, domain, the domain, in a prayer in his domain, okay? No man should lead another prayer in his domain, okay, as a zombie. I am the imam in the masjid here. Comes Sheikh Abdul Qadir as a zombie, more memorization, or mu'min, my nephew, more memorization in Quran than me. He did not come, Sheikh Abdul Qadir or Mu'min, say, I know more Quran than you. Why? Because I am the imam here. I am the person who have the authority in this locality. So this comes before all these other
consideration. Why? Because not to break the unity of the Muslims and not to take the respect out of this person that the Muslims respect and they go by his order or his whatever it is, so not to be a conflict and disunity in the community. And also another thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us, that you don't sit in the place of a man in his house. Okay? When I come in your house, in the living room, some people, they have a special seat. The man of the house sits on it, okay? And this be out of respect. If you don't know that when you enter somebody's house, you don't go sit until he points you to some place and says, have a seat here, okay? Because some people, they have a special seat, or what you call this thing that, what do you call this? The recliner, okay? You don't go and understand somebody's living room and the first thing you jump, you go and say, oh, this is, it feels good. It's not a respect, okay? Because this is the place for the man, the husband, the father of this children, the husband of this woman, okay? He's the man of this house. So you have to learn the adab and the discipline and the behavior when you enter the people's houses. So this is his seat. You don't sit in it, okay? So we have to take these things in consideration, inshallah. Because this Islam is so beautiful, and he teaches us about everything special about manner and respect and discipline. And this is something very important. And when Muslims, they lose this, it's a big problem. Big, big problem. Okay? Yeah. And some people sometimes they say, oh, brother, this is Sheikh Khan, so he's the Imam of Islamic Center in such and such a city, and he's visiting, let him use the Salah for him. You don't do this. You see, and the Imam is the Masjid, you don't come, you understand, ask, you understand. What? So what? He can be leading the Salah there in his Islamic Center. He don't have to come take the Salah in my Islamic Center and say, oh brother, he's the visitor, let him give the khutbah. You see? Okay. Hadith number 328. ولابن ماجه من حديث جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه ولا تؤمن امراه رجلا ولا اعرابي مهاجرا ولا فاجر مؤمنا واسناد واهن. This hadith, which is number 328, so I'm not going to make any comments about it. The hadith is weak, so we're going to skip it. The next hadith, which hadith number 329, وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. How much more we have in that? قال رصوا صفوفكم وقاربوا بينها وحاذوا بالأعناق. The hadith is reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith is in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Nisa'i and Ibn Hibban and Sunan al-Baghawi and Ibn Khuzaymah. The hadith is authentic that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, stand close together in your road, in your sukuf. Bring them near one another and stand neck to neck. That means keep the line straight. And this is part of the establishment of the prayer, and we should be concerned about it in the jama'at, inshallah. Hadith number 330. Page 148, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah please with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ صُفُوفِ الرِّجَالِ أَوَّلُهَا وَشَرُّهَا آخِرُهَا وَخَيْرُ صُفُوفِ النِّسَاءِ آخِرُهَا وَشَرُّهَا أَوَّلُهَا. رواه مسلم. The hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Huraira, is a collection of Imam Muslim. It's telling us that the best ranks for men, the best rows for men in Salah are the first. Okay? And the words for them are what? Are the last.
or the latter. And the best rank for women, the best role of women, because they're supposed to be praying also with the men in the same musalla, is what? The latter. Okay? The one in the end, the last. And the worst is what? The worst is the first. Why? Because the more the woman come closer to the man, this is the worst. This is what is make it worse. The more the women stay away from men, this is the best. And the more the man stay away from the woman, this is the best. And this in Salah, can you imagine out of Salah? Now this in Salah. And in Salah, you are not going to look behind you. You are not going to talk with the sisters. But it's still, can you imagine if this in Salah, how we're supposed to be out in Salah? Out of the Salah, we're supposed to try to be more distant from women. In place, in talking, in everything, to the best of our ability. To the best of our ability. Page 149, hadith number 331, reported by Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, qal, sallaytu ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, zaat laylah, faqumtu an yasarihi, fa'akhadha rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bira'si min wara'i, faja'alani an yaminih, muttafaqun alayhi. The hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, as well Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, that Ibn Abbas, he was young, he doesn't know, okay, he doesn't know better. So the son of Ibn Abbas, he went, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making salah, so he stood beside him. And this was nafila, optional prayer, okay, night prayer. So he stood in his left side. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pulled him from his neck, and he brought him to his right side. And this to teach us that the two people pray beside each other, and the follower will be beside the imam, not little bit behind him. Okay? Not little bit behind him. He brought him to his right side. So when two brothers praying, they pray what? Beside each other. And the one who leading the salah will be in the left, and the follower will be what? On the right beside him. Okay? Hadith number 332, page 149, reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, and in the collection of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and this version is the version of Imam Al-Bukhari. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فقمت أنا ويتيم خلفه وأم سليم خلفنا. So he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was praying, so me and the orphan had prayed behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and أم سليم behind us. Okay? So this shows the position. Where is the Imam? Is Jama'ah, and this Jama'ah collected from men and children and women, that the Imam in the front, the two or the three or more behind him, and a woman or women will be behind the men. And this is the order of the Jama'ah, how to stand. Hadith number 333, وعن أبي بكر أنه انتهى إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وراكع فراكع قبل أن يصل إلى الصف ثم مشى إلى الصف وذكر ذلك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال له النبي زادك الله حرصا ولا تعد. رواه البخاري وزاد أبو داود فيه فركع دون الصف ثم مشى إلى الصف. This hadith that Abu Bakr, different from Abu Bakr, okay? Abu Bakr, when he arrived to the mosque, he found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already in bound down position in ruku'. He was so concerned about catching the jama'ah and getting the reward. So right away, as soon as he entered the mosque, he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and went in ruku'.
and after this he starts walking a while, he's in bowing down position. Okay, until he reach the rows of the salah or the rank. And after this he mentioned this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him by saying, زادك الله حرصا. May Allah increase your eagerness, your concern about catching the blessings, okay? And don't repeat. And now the scholars, they are different about this, don't repeat what it's supposed to mean. Some they understood, don't repeat the salah, that means your salah is acceptable, it's good, it's okay. And some they understand, don't repeat this action again. Okay? And inshallah, don't repeat the salah. Okay? And Allah knows best. Okay? So if the person enter and the imam in ruku', he can say Allahu Akbar, and after this, he will say Allahu Akbar and go to ruku', and he walk until he reach the rank, and he will count this a rak'ah. I'm going to have to speed a little bit. How much? 15. This hadith number 334 وعن وابصة ابن معبد رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا يصلي خلف الصف وحده فأمره أن يعيد الصلاة. That رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم this hadith reported by Wabisa, and the hadith is the collection of Tirmidhi as well as Ibn Hibban and Abu Dawood and Ahmad. And the hadith is authentic that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw Iman praying behind the rank by himself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered him to make his salah over. Okay? Because you are not supposed to pray behind the rank. Especially if there is a room for you to enter. Okay? If there is a room to enter and you go pray by yourself, now there is no salah for you. And you have to make your salah over. The next hadith, which hadith by Talq, لا صلاة لمنفرد خلف الصف. Okay? The hadith that there is no prayer for the person who prays behind the rank. The hadith is authentic. But the completion or the other version, hadith Wabisa, أَلَا دَخَلْتَ مَعْهُمْ why you did not enter in the rank or call a man to make rank with you, this is weak. Okay? He say, and At-Tabarani added to the narration of Wabisa, why did not join them or pull back a man? This narration is weak. You are not supposed to take somebody from the rank. You can enter the rank or you can go sit, you can go pray on the right side of the imam. And if you could not find any way, so now you can pray behind the line, although you be by yourself. Other scholars say you wait until somebody else comes, or you wait until the salah is over. But inshallah, if the person tries to come in the line and there's no space, he will go and pray in the right side of the imam. If he could not reach the imam and there's no place for him, he will pray behind the line, even if he by himself. أن لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها عند الله نزبه حديث نمبر 335 by أبو هريرة إذا سمعتم الإقامة فامشوا إلى الصلاة وعليكم السكينة والوقار. That it teaching us the manner of going to the Salah, that when you hear the إقامة walk, don't hasten, don't run, okay, and have respect and dignity for the prayer. whatever you catch from the salah, perform. Whatever you miss, this complete after the imam. Hadith number, and the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 336. وعن أبي بن كعب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الرجل مع الرجل أزكى من صلاته وحده وصلاته مع الرجلين أزكى من صلاته مع الرجل وما كان أكثر فهو أحب إلى الله تبارك وتعالى. That you pray two people together is better than praying by yourself. Three people will be much better than two. The more people praying, the more reward and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith is authentic. The next hadith عن أم ورقة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرها أن تأم أهل دارها. Okay? That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, and the hadith is Hassan, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم permit أم ورقة to lead her people, okay, her family, in salah in her house, not in the masjid. A woman could not lead men. And some scholars, and I think Shawkani, if I'm not mistaken, Imam Shawkani, said she can lead her boys as example, okay, or even if her husband doesn't know Quran, she know better Quran than him, she can lead him, as long as these people are mahram for her. But she could not lead any other men. Okay? She could not lead any other men which they can marry her. Okay? But her brother, her son, her husband. And this is the opinion of Imam Shawkani, while other people understood that she only lead the people of her family. Not include the men and Allah knows them. Okay. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استخلف ابن أم مكتوم يا أم الناس وهو أعمى. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم left ابن أم مكتوم to lead the people as his deputy or behind him. And this is hadith Hassan and shows you the permissibility of the blind man leaving the salah. That is nothing wrong with it. Okay? The next hadith number 339, page 152. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا على من قال لا إله إلا الله وصلوا خلف من قال لا إله إلا الله. The hadith is weak, so we're going to leave it alone. And the last hadith in the chapter, hadith number 340, page 152, reported by Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذا أتى أحدكم الصلاة والإمام على حال فليصنع كما يصنع الإمام. And the hadith is weak, and by this, alhamdulillah, we finish Salat al-Jama'ah. According what is in the book of Bulugh al-Maram. Although, inshallah, the intention that later on that we talk about Salat al-Jama'ah, because there is many, many, many things else that we would like to talk about Salat al-Jama'ah. As example, we like to talk about, can the women go for Jama'ah in the masjid? How the jama'ah can be, when you consider that she catches the jama'ah, what is the condition for jama'ah, okay, and when it can be jama'ah between imam and ma'moom. As example, if a person could not see the imam, you could not hear the imam, okay, except by a loud speaker, was this considered jama'ah or no, okay? Can a person sitting lead a person standing, and if a person standing can lead a person who's sitting, okay? Can a person who has tayammum lead a person who has wudu, and a person who has wudu, can he lead a person who has tayammum? A person who praying fard, obligatory prayer, can he lead a person in optional prayer, okay? All this other things that related to Salat al-Jama'ah. Where is the Imam supposed, no. We already spoke about where is the Imam supposed to stand. And what it seems that dislike during Jama'ah, as example, to pray between the pillars, to have ranks between the pillars, the pillars in the, we call it pillars, okay? What kind of reasons that make the person not to attend the Jama'ah, as example, if it's rain, although you're living beside the masjid, okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to the muazzin that when he calls the adhan in, during the rain, he would say, صَلُّ فِي رِحَالِكُمْ صَلُّ فِي رِحَالِ. That means pray in your houses, okay? So this excuses also for not to attend the Jama'ah. Can we repeat the Jama'ah? If the Imam already led the Salah and the Salah is over and other people came later on, can they make another Jama'ah? So there is other things